We mentioned that John Paul II's document on nutrition and hydration in the persistent vegetative state aroused a firestorm of negative reaction, both from the lay press and also from some Catholic moral theologians. Part of the reason being that it seemed to some to suggest that end-of-life care for Catholics would entail the necessity for artificial nutrition and hydration. It's very interesting that 7 months later, and just a few months before his own death, a papal allocution or address at the same level of authority as the document on the persistent vegetative state appeared and was almost completely ignored by the press, perhaps for the simple reason that it restated very clearly the very sane and appropriate Catholic teaching concerning the end of life and Catholic affirmation and encouragement of palliative care. That is, treatment, care that is oriented towards the treatment of symptoms rather than the cure of disease. This is most often used to describe treatment at the end of life, but palliative care can be applied in any circumstances where treatment of symptoms is the primary concern. As we'll see, the Church strongly encourages, in the most forceful possible terms, this kind of appropriate care at the end of life. And perhaps the fact that this is such a compassionate and appropriate teaching explains why this document was more or less neglected. Unfortunately, it's also been neglected, not only those who prefer to lampoon the Church as a teaching nonsense, but also it's tended to be unknown by those who could profit from its teaching. Even those in healthcare settings who may have heard of the document on the persistent vegetative state, but for a variety of reasons didn't know that there was this document on palliative care. So I'd like to strongly emphasize the importance of being aware of and sharing the contents of both this document and the other magisterial texts we will be looking at that emphasize the value and the significance of palliative care. If we move down to number two, medicine is always at the service of life. There's the admission, of course, that medicine cannot always treat all pathology, but even then, its possibilities should be directed to the alleviation of suffering. And this is put in a Christological perspective. It is Christ who is served in the sick, which, as we may recall, is also found in the chapter of the Rule of St. Benedict on the care of the sick, that in this caring for an individual at the end of their life, when the primary thing one can do is to ease their pain and treat their suffering, is in fact a way of treating Christ himself for Christ's disciples. If we move down to number three, this approach is contrasted in light of the tradition of the parable of the Good Samaritan and our obligation to care for all of those who are in physical and emotional need. This tradition is contrasted with euthanasia, which is described as a tragedy, described here as an ethic that claims to dictate who should live and die. And the terrible irony is highlighted that euthanasia, rather than eliminating suffering, eliminates the person. Instead of treating the suffering or the pain of the individual, it deals with the problem by eliminating the individual. And the Pope points out that unless compassion is combined with the desire to deal with suffering and support those who are afflicted, it leads to the cancellation of life in order to eliminate pain, and thus distorting what medicine is supposed to be about. But the key and the central tenet of this document is number four, the description of what true compassion is. And as we'll see, particularly in the text from the Catechism, palliative care is seen as being as a very special, a particular form of charity, of compassion. And here the Pope says, true compassion encourages every reasonable effort for the patient's recovery and recognizes that the line must be drawn when no further treatment will serve this purpose. When treatment cannot cure, then aggressive treatment that pretends to cure must cease. The object of the decision whether to begin or continue treatment has nothing to do with the patient's life, but whether such intervention is going to be beneficial. So the question of, is this going to help the person, or is it going to cause them even more discomfort and pain, is particularly important at the end of life, but is an important question to ask always. And so it's stated, the decision not to start or to halt a treatment is ethically politically correct, if it's ineffective or disproportionate to the aims of sustaining life or recovering health, if that's no longer a possibility, and the decision to forego aggressive treatment is an expression of the respect that is due to the patient at every moment. So foregoing aggressive treatment is a form of respecting the individual. One is not obliged to use what is seen as aggressive treatment, but which will serve no purpose other than that of prolonging the person's death and making it more unpleasant. So if we move down to number 5, particularly in the stages of illness where there is no effective or proportionate treatment, it is appropriate to avoid all aggressive treatment, and that which would be regarded as painful or burdensome to the individual, and employ instead palliative care. Palliative care is not euthanasia. Palliative care is not an attempt to shorten the life of the individual. On the contrary, palliative care is a respect for the person's life, an attempt to make the end of that life, whatever length it may have, as comfortable, as pain-free as possible. And paradoxically, as we'll see in studies, careful studies of the effect of opiates, of strong drugs at the end of life, the use of these medications, which was once thought to probably shorten life or hasten death, very often does not have that effect. Treating pain allows the person's process of dying not necessarily to be shortened, but to become less of a burden for them. And the Pope here, number 5, in a section that I've highlighted, describes palliative care, which aims, especially in the case of patients with terminal diseases, although palliative care is not just for terminal patients, it aims at alleviating the symptoms of physical, psychological, and mental suffering. And here, this is very important, it requires the intervention of a team of specialists with medical, psychological, and religious qualifications who work together to support the patient. This is a key point. Palliative care is not always easily available, and ordinary physicians, and I can say this as a family practitioner myself, are often not well equipped to provide maximum palliative care because of our unfamiliarity with the kinds of dosages of medication, the kinds of mixture of medication, and the variety of other therapies that can and should be brought to bear. And although medical training is attempting to address this by providing more and more of this kind of awareness and even requiring that it be part of training for physicians in practice, nevertheless, one always has to presume that it is best, if one can do so, to bring in specialists in palliative care, and the Church urgently and eagerly supports the training of these individuals and the employment of these individuals in appropriate medical contexts. There's a reminder here that consciousness, as much as possible, should be maintained for the sake of those who want to satisfy their moral and family duties and prepare consciously for their meeting with God. However, consciousness is not a requirement for the dying Catholic. If it reaches a point where it's a question of either remaining conscious or suffering unbearable agony, the Church does not require that an individual forego the use of pain medication that may have the effect of dulling or even eliminating consciousness and possibly even shortening life. This is perfectly permissible, and it is not a requirement of Catholics to have painful deaths, which unfortunately some people, again, lampoon the Church as somehow requiring or expecting. And I'm sorry to add that there are occasionally individuals one encounters, uninformed Catholics, who imagine that this is the case, that it is more meritorious to suffer, or and it's usually requiring a family member, to not have sufficient pain medication out of some strangely misguided sense that this individual is required to remain conscious. As we'll see, palliative sedation at the end of life is perfectly permissible and has always been regarded as permissible by the Church. This does not hasten the patient's death intentionally. It seeks to ease the person's suffering. And then the final point that I've highlighted in number 6, the very important aspect of pastoral care in this question of palliative care. It isn't just a question of medication or even just of psychological support. Clearly, there should also be individuals who are concerned with and able to address the individual's spiritual need. And within the Catholic context, this would, of course, include chaplains and those who can provide the appropriate sacraments for people who are approaching the end of their lives.